That is wrong on so many levels.
Well, let's go with that one, Mr. Dennis. It's April. We're April Fool's Day is come and gone. Still,
it has.
Still surrounded by fools.
Uncelebrated or recognized by me, I'm afraid. And it usually doesn't pass without some type of recognition.
Yeah, I missed it too because I was offline that day. It was a holiday here, and I
didn't miss it.
No,
I didn't care.
No. But.
And you know, and part of it is. What I've this past week I've been in this thing about not wanting to watch the news,
yeah,
because there actually is something happening of some importance maybe once or twice a week.
Yep,
but that doesn't mean it doesn't consume the news channels 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it actually is the same news being re-reported, rehashed.
Yep.
Reassessed by different analysts, bringing in panels, saying the same stuff again and again. Today, Morning Joe, who I like, who just talks and talks and talks, he had a former senator from Missouri on the screen, and she's pretty loquacious. And Joe was on one of his tirades, and when they're showing a split screen and Joe's on a tirade, the person who's waiting for the question or the intro or the handoff,
right,
has to be looking, has to be actively listening to Joe. Otherwise, it's an odd look, even though Joe is just rattling on and on and on.
You know,
and Claire McCaskill. Claire McCaskill was a senator, and today, when it was her turn, she had spaced out. So there was this really uncomfortable long moment of silence, and she finally blurted out, "The reason I'm not speaking is because it's so unbelievable." And I thought, you liar. You weren't paying attention to Joe.
As half of this podcast, I can't imagine what that must be like.
No, I don't imagine you would.
And really, we should. But I should stop making the video that I produce for the patron donors is a side by side, so you can see both of us. So when one of us is going on and on and on, and the other's picking their nose, it's there to be seen. But
I haven't seen you pick your nose.
Well.
Not that I want to. I mean, it's not a request.
I can try and give you a demonstration. I don't know.
No. No. Gross.
Speaking of
gross
stuff coming out of your nose.
So what's the worst, the grossest thing you ever did with a booger in your life?
I was going to say a good question, but it's not really. I don't know. Maybe flick it across the room or something.
That's it, huh?
Yeah. I never understood the people that eat them. That's...
It's not atypical for children to do that when they're in their...
apparently...
2 to 3 year old stage.
Apparently they're... they taste kind of sweet, but I wouldn't know.
Well, I had a friend of mine who I stayed over his house, and... come to find out, he showed me. He said, "You want to see my booger factory?"
Oh, Jesus!
And I said, "I guess." And on his windowsill, right behind his curtain, which was right next to his bed, he'd been picking his nose for I don't know how many months, and from the what at once was a wet booger,
right,
he built a house or a factory. I guess it looked like a house with a chimney.
What?
And a fence. I mean, he had been doing it for some time, and it was all pointillistic, but with boogers.
Just
now, that's nothing I did.
Construct, like making them little booger bricks.
Press it on the glass of the window pane, So it's a one-dimensional image.
Two-dimensional. Okay. He's not building a 3D model of a...
No. That'd be a lot of boogers. Not that he wouldn't be up for it.
I was thinking booger Legos when you were talking, but okay.
No. Yeah, well, that's even grosser, but... And I suppose you'd have to have real wet boogers to join the corners. You know, a snotty, drippy one.
Right.
If you could get a little blood, it would probably help catch things, too. Just saying.
I mean...
I wonder, too, if real
bricks have mortar in between them, right?
Well, how about earwax?
There you go.
For mortar. Huh? The boogers are a little usually, you know, harder.
Right.
So they make little round balls and then use the earwax as mortar.
I think we could be onto something here. This is a new fad.
I think we could sell a game that's based on the picking of boogers and the building of things.
I was thinking like maybe patterns, like people that do cross stitch. You can buy a pattern that like tells you what to put where to make your...
That would be good. Based on the type of booger.
Right, of course. The first thing you
hard
have...
Hard pebble-like, one thing. Runny, snotty, but still containable.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, drip dry. Honker with blood on it. That's a type.
Yep.
And
the old bloody honker.
And also, crusted over scab.
Hey... If it comes out of your body and hardens, you can use it.
Feces notwithstanding, or...
Well, for sure...
For shit.
What did you recently do with your feces that you forgot? I read somewhere where someone, like, escaped something by... They were in a really cold place, and they did a nice turd and like shaped it into like a knife, and then was able to like cut themselves free or attack their attacker or their
was a frozen turd.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if it's hard,
sounds like a wife's
tale. If it's hard enough, it sounds more like a wife's husband's tale.
But what wife?
Yeah,
what wife would tell this?
That's a husband's tale. Yeah. I don't know. I'll see if I'll dare to Google that and see.
Tales from the Rodriguez. You haven't taken a Rodriguez for a while, have you?
No, I haven't.
Although your trip overseas was...
Well, no,
it's
that's
different,
the opposite.
It's the
inverse.
That's a Rodriguez for her, which is called a Sophia.
Yes. I haven't since I've been working for a European company that, like, gives proper vacation time.
Right.
But, yeah, well, I don't know. I don't think we have one planned for this year. I think we're going to go all together, but we'll see.
So we got a new television series. I've got a report on our friend Mayor of Eastwick. And that series, which I've now stopped watching.
I checked that out. Do you want to know my opinion?
I quit it.
I watched the first episode, and every 3 to 5 minutes, I was like, "Why am I getting older watching this?" Like, it was so.
It didn't click.
It was so uninteresting. And only at the very, very end did I realize who they're satirizing.
Who are they satirizing?
Apparently, Putin is a hypochondriac and is super scared of germs. And during COVID, like, everyone had to be, like, 10 yards away from him and stuff.
I don't know.
And I think they're trying to satirize him, but they're doing it in such an unentertaining way that it's just...
Well, it didn't get any better. I watched the second one only because I wanted to give her the benefit of a doubt. Right. And the second one was actually disturbing. And the images in it were disturbing, and they were disturbing in such a way that, unlike other disturbing images, which were part of a larger picture, these seemed to be disturbing in an isolated kind of way, and were so violently and accurately depicted that I actually became very uncomfortable, had a restless night because of it, and because it had no purpose,
right,
or other than to shock, I think. Huh. I wasn't clear about it. I watched the first part of the third one, and it was kind of more the same, and I just said, you know what, let me switch. So I did, however. Well, anyway, I don't want to say any more about that.
So I
did watch a new one, too.
I got about 15 minutes into the second one, and then I couldn't, I just...
It's funny how we were similar. That I did that 15 minutes into my third one. I suspect part of the second one, I fell asleep for part of it. So that I may have... I may have short-circuited it sooner or otherwise.
Are they just operating on another level from us, and we're just too stupid to get how clever it is?
No.
Because it's terrible television.
There's a lot of people who don't think so. And those people are not us. And I'd have to read up on it to see what exactly they're saying.
Like, is anyone saying, this is... you know, groundbreaking political satire.
I kind of seriously think so, yes. You can find that about any series, because you can find anybody
true
who's willing to say that. Look at the raves of Your Honor, which was fucking
right
mediocre at best.
Yeah.
At best. On the TV front,
yes,
A Gentleman in Moscow, Ewan McGregor playing a count,
okay,
who, after the Russian Revolution in 1917, when they killed the royal family and the Bolsheviks took over and the communists took over, this one count was spared on condition that the temporary place he was living, where he'd been a year, mm-hmm, because his castle was built, was burnt to the ground, in the palatial quarters in the nicest hotel where he lived, he was told, if you ever step foot out of that hotel, we will kill you.
Huh.
And so he went to his apartment and thought that's where he was timed out. But in fact, it was in the attic. All of this, you know, from the trailer. But the depiction of this and the acting in this is so superior that what otherwise sounded like a bit of a trite plot, you know, I wonder how this would go. But I've seldom seen Ewan McGregor in something I don't really appreciate.
Yeah, he's very, very good. He's pretty good.
And I will absolutely can't wait to see the second one. It's one of those. It's a keeper.
Okay.
So check that out.
So it is a series.
A Gentleman in HBO.
Yeah, and that's the only thing you watch, I think.
No, I watch Showtime. And I talk about getting Netflix and don't.
There's a TV show that I've heard some positive stuff about that just this evening I watched... like 15 minutes of the first episode. It's called Shogun. And...
Oh, yeah.
It was on FX, but now for me it's on Disney Plus.
So you see it without commercials.
So I can see it without commercials. Have you had heard of that?
I've heard of it. I've seen it on my screen. I can click on it. I see it's FX.
Yeah.
And I go to something else. I don't...
Yeah.
I can't stand commercials.
Right.
Can't stand.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, it hadn't occurred to me that because it's on FX, there would be little It'd be chopped up into commercial stuff. But yeah, so I don't see it with commercials. And I don't know. It's beautiful so far, but
there's blackouts for you, right? Blackout of scene?
No.
Instead of a commercial, there's just a blackout to a scene. No?
Well, yes, but you mean an immediate cut, yes. Yeah. But, like, you can tell when you're watching things that were built for commercials because they'll do little mini cliffhangers and then immediately...
Yeah. Da-da-da-da!
Click. Right. But, so, I don't know. That's... I don't really have anything to report on that.
Ah.
So, that's the entertainment news. I'm proud of you for backing away from the news. Like, that is just a mind virus to pay attention to the 24-hour news channel people.
Well, and the thing is, I get the gist of it on my feed, and while I might be prone, if I happen to want to watch Ari Melber on the beat, if there's something on my feed I want to know more about, I will go to him to hear it. Or if at any point in time I happen to be around when Jen Psaki or Psaki, I guess, what is it? No, it's Jen Psaki, former Biden spokesperson.
So
does a great job.
When you say feed, what do you mean?
On my phone.
What app?
My news feed. Google.
Google. So you open up Google News?
No. Let's see. I open my phone and I go to Google.com.
Yeah.
And there is the snippets of the news.
Huh. Interesting.
And depending on phone calls I've made or ads I've looked at, I get all sorts of material relative to that.
Right, of course. It
commercials, so to speak. Come ons. So I fell to a scam last week.
Nice.
And you know the last scam story with the alarm and all that. Remember I turned my computer on and the alarm went off?
Yeah.
I begged them to turn it off and they got me and I... Just before the bank information, I caught him.
And yeah, you called me, and I was like, "Yeah,
no harm, no fault." So this time, I'm one of the places I go when I'm searching around is I go to these blogs about fishing where I fish,
of course,
which end up to be pretty useless. So I don't do it much anymore already. It only lasted about a week, and so an ad flashed up about one of the best producers of fishing gear. It's called Sims, S-I-M-S. And there was a closeout sale, wholesale sale at Sims for closeout. That said 75 to 80% off, and I went to it. Good looking Sim site, you know, what you'd expect it to look like, and had menu after menu of stuff, and I picked out a pair of boots that were incredibly cheap and a vest. Two different transactions. Even though if I had combined them, I would have had free shipping. I didn't think of it, so I did it twice. And I never got a notice. I got a notice that I had bought it, and it said, and we'll let you know when it shipped. Several days later, no shipping. I checked it, and I went to the so-called website, no longer exists, tried the telephone number, did not exist. And coincided with that, I got a call from my bank that wondered whether or not someone had been using my credit card. And one of the credit card charges that they questioned was this one to some outfit that was called SmartCarbos.com, nothing to do with Sims. And so I said, you know what? I think that, no, that is a scam, but I initiated it. And they said, well, then it's not identity thing. You started.
You're
this.
The dumbass that.
Yeah. This is a charge that will be deliberated, but you've been scammed, but you fell for it. They didn't use those words.
Yeah.
And so I'm waiting. I canceled the card, obviously. My new card came today. And I'm going to look at my bill and I'm going to say scam, scam, not scam, because I did use the card legitimately. And I just said, boy, the trouble that somebody went to create the site, and you know, it was $75 for me, but the other thing they did, which was a aggravator to the review, was that they charged an amount different than what they told me in the email they charged me, or what they told me on the invoice.
Right.
It was a different amount. So when somebody said it was $79 or $74, I said, no, that may not be the one. This one was $74.99, and they said this one is for $71. And she said, no. That's one of the ways that they confuse the issue.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So you couldn't quite match. You couldn't match it according to name. You couldn't match it according to amount.
Right, right.
The card doesn't have a lot of information on it, obviously. But I said to the lady, I said, how can I fall for a scam? Again, so as I was doing a Facebook thing, which I am disgusted with Facebook all the way around. It's such a waste of fucking time. Uh-huh. People chatting about what the fuck they ate, and then somebody commenting about what they ate, and then somebody commenting on what they said, and Jesus Christ, I wish I never did it. I never started it until about 2 months.
You just need better friends.
I guess. But anyway, this ad came up. And I double-clicked on it. It came up again, and I reported it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and replied to all that said this is a scam.
Yep.
So it was a phishing blog
right.
that they infiltrated. Easy enough, just join and open it up.
Huh.
Post.
It's funny that it's about phishing when phishing with a PH is a type of scam.
Well, now that you mention it, it said Sims phishing gear and phishing was spelled PH.
Yeah. That'd be funny to make a scam so obvious that people doubt that it's a scam.
Huh. This can't be a scam. Who would be so stupid?
Right, exactly.
Raise your hand.
Nice.
Raise your fucking hand. So I went to the river yesterday. That's a story to tell. But
so I, while you were telling me about your fishing scam, I looked up the poop knife legend.
Yeah.
And apparently there is this academic urban legend. What are you doing?
Go ahead. Don't.
Well, you're making a bunch of noise.
Well, don't, man. I'm fanning my throbbing fucking infected toe. But now, there it is. You happy that you have this image now in the world?
Fanning your throbbing fucking toe.
Two people who are listening are like, gross, they probably shut it off. If they didn't tune out during the booger session.
Right. That's how we call the herd.
Filter.
Yeah.
That's right. It's a filter. Yes. It's a filter. Well played.
So there is this urban legend that some yes. guy was out in the Arctic and he made a knife out of his own poop. It's been repeated, like all good urban legends, it's been repeated in several different places and with no real citation. But I found this article that I will put in the show notes titled "Knives Made of Frozen Feces Don't Make the Cut, Disproving a Well-Known Legend." And this journalist went home and shat into a bag and put it in the freezer and did this experiment where he sharpened some turds, and turns out they don't really cut very well.
They don't cut.
So now, you know, the people that have made it this far in the episode have learned a thing, that if you need to cut something, don't try and use your own shit.
Frozen.
Well, you wouldn't try and use a nice, fresh, hot one.
Well, given our potential listeners' ability to discern things, I don't think that it goes without saying.
Oh.
Remember this. If you are actually listening to us, right, you're probably, I mean, no, I love our listener, but not the sharpest.
Not the sharpest turd in
the drawer.
Not the sharpest.
Not the
turd in the.
Not the sharpest frozen turd on the dung heap.
On the tundra, yes. So there you go. Good, solid news.
Good solid news, and
quickly reported.
I'm glad that whatever it was I was talking about when you were doing the search didn't matter to you at all. That's just we'd have to play back to see what that was. But you took some time, and it's good.
You're talking
no one knew
about getting fished.
I went on and on, and you took a break from listening.
You were, you know, it's like. It's like that that journalist that you're talking about, where she just spaced out. At least I'm not that like was, scrolling on my phone.
Clay McCaskill. That was not Clay McCaskill. Not Clay.
That's it doesn't matter. Claire.
Yeah, no.
Claire.
Claire.
That's a.
Claire McCaskill.
That's a politician. Okay, so tell me about going to the river.
Oh. So it was one of those things where it's like, if I'm going to fish this week, it's got to be on Tuesday because of doctor's appointments, work-related stuff, this and that and the other. I looked at the weather report, and it said 37 feels like 32, 38 feels like 33, 65% chance of rain all day. And I'm thinking, there'll be no fishermen there. I'll be alone. That's a plus.
Right.
Because the water might be a little deeper. The fish may come up the river. And if I don't go, I wish I had. I go.
Yep.
And I will tell you what. I was dressed for it. But I will. It was a four-hour trip. And I will tell you just the beginning and just the end.
Good.
But the beginning was when I hiked through the woods along the river, then through the river, then past two of my honey holes that I fish on the way back that you've heard many stories about. Went to what I call my honey hole, and there I encountered the only other fisherman, as it turns out, that I would have seen all day.
Yep.
There they were, the next hole up. Luckily, I got to my honey hole before they did, so I was there. While they were there, I was a bit distracted from them walking behind me, which means you can't
right.
throw quite like you would, etc. In that time frame where they were engaged with them, I drifted six times and hooked two steelhead.
Nice.
And thought, oh my God, this is going to be a good day. And the guy said, wow, we've been fishing all day. We haven't. Oh, what are you using?
Yep.
And I told him, and he moved up to the next hole. Little did I know that that would be about the only action I saw for the next 4 hours. And that's a story that's told again and again. Fishing at the end, the end result, Colorado River, beyond the Grand Canyon, but still in canyon
yep.
Environment. And in the first three throws, I caught a nice fresh trout and thought, oh boy, little did I know, 6 hours later, I'd be looking back and say, the only fish of the day, and I didn't bring enough water. I think I'm going to die on this dry desert road that I decided to take back to the truck. But anyway, I veer off my topic.
I guess fishing has to engage the same sort of neural circuitry as, like, slot machines or gambling.
Stargazing.
Well, no. Well, if you're looking for, like, a shooting star or something. But just the total randomness of of when you get lucky and...
It's
not total randomness because clearly there's some skill there. But the best fisherman, if the fish just aren't biting, isn't going to catch anything. And if the fish are really hungry, then a shitty fisherman can probably catch stuff.
So let me explain something, and then you rethink what you just said about this. Okay. So the difference between a great fisherman and a good fisherman, that if a great fisherman were at the hole where I was, where I hooked two, came back later, much later, 4 hours later, didn't hook another one, but while I was there, a fish that was well over 30 inches long leapt partway out of the water at something that had drifted by that it wanted to eat.
Yep.
And so I knew, of course, like I knew in the morning, that there were fish there. A great fisherman would have thrown adrift 5 or 6 times and then changed the fly, changed what was on. Another 5 or 6 times, changed it again to answer the question, what are they interested in? Or, at the end of the day, are they interested in anything? In freezing temperatures, in rain at 37 degrees, feels like 32,
yep,
and the fingers in what become wet gloves, right? Yep. And just the wearing down of the day, particularly as the day goes on, your motivation to change flies, it's almost stronger to say, you know, I think the setup's probably pretty good. I'll change holes.
Uh-huh.
So I have what I think is a good setup because it hooked fish. So instead of changing it, I go to the next hole, no luck. Go to the next hole, no luck. Next hole, no luck. And then before I come back down, hole after hole, I change up.
Is it common?
And that's
is it common for fish to go after different baits at different times of the day?
Depending on what's going on with cloud cover, clarity or lack thereof of the water, the particular color of the water, whether it's teal or brown, depending also on the heat factor, whether it warms up more or not. Cloud cover, big deal, but sun is a killer.
Rain.
So yes, the time of day all depending, but know that many fishing reports will say one of two things. They seem to be more active in the morning, or they seem to be more active in the afternoon. One of the reasons I don't mind starting to fish at 10 or 11 a.m. is because my experience is that I have better luck between 3 and 4 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
So that's about the time I want to be leaving the river, going back through my holes again. Uh-huh. So there's something to that, which may be related to the moon and the sun and gravity and God only knows what, you know.
Going back through your holes is like playing the back nine.
No, it's more like playing a 9-hole course but playing 18, and the second 9 you play backwards. That's exactly what it's like.
Right.
So Tiger Woods getting ready for the Masters. You followed any of that?
No, I have not.
He did a broad text to some of his compatriots. You know, the whole gang is back. You know, the LIV PGA split doesn't affect the Masters because it's a private club and they invite who the fuck, according to the rules, is invited. Right. And Spaniard, your man, John Rahm, is last year's winner.
Yep.
Rahm, he's got the dinner this year You need to look at the menu. It's a complete Spanish menu.
Nice.
And I'm sure there's some stuff that you'll recognize. And Tiger texted a group. I don't know who the group was for sure. And it was 4 a.m. And it said, I'm here working out in the gym. What are you guys doing to get ready?
Nice.
I thought that was real nice.
Oh, this is...
He played a practice round with his one of his best friends. What's his ass? Justin.
This is nice. I just looked up his menu. It's all good Basque food.
Including it, the main entree is a Basque dish that his grandmother adapted or perfected or
nice.
Her version of that.
Yes, this is very, very original. Rodaballo al pipil. Yes, yes. Mil hojas de crema y nata. Yes, this is very, very Spanish.
So what is the... What catches your eye?
I mean, all of it. This is...
What's the appetizer?
Well, there's a bunch of starters. There's Ibericos, which is... nicely translated here. That's funny. There's a typo in the USA Today. they mean acorn-fed Iberian ham, cured pork loin. But they said accord-fed. So the best Spanish ham is with pigs that only eat acorns. And they're not like fed acorns in a trough. They live under the trees where they fall.
They're wild caught.
Well, they're not wild. They're in a
acorn farm.
They're fenced in.
Acorn pig farm.
Yeah, acorn pig farm.
Charlie's acorn pig farm.
Exactly. And then there's a tortilla de patatas, which is a typical Spanish omelet with onions and potatoes.
As a starter.
Yeah.
Must be small.
Yeah, I mean it's they're cut up into little tapas. It's not a whole omelet.
Yeah.
And then chistorra con patata. That's Basque spicy chorizo. That I love and I like to make. Lentejas estofadas. Mama Ram's classic lentil stew. I make lentil stew.
Oh.
I make lentil stew all the
Did
time.
Did they tell you the ingredients?
No, but I can tell you my recipe.
Lentils, onions, celery, garlic.
No celery or garlic, but like green peppers and red peppers as well, chopped up finely, and
bell peppers.
Yes.
Huh.
And then
cook. That must give it a great texture if they're.
Yes.
Cut fine.
Yeah, and sometimes I'll put in leeks instead of onions, and it's all good. And then croqueta de pollo, that's translated into creamy chicken fritters. I don't think that that's well translated. So a croqueta, a croquette in French / English, is... It's made with like you make this sort of dough out of flour and pieced in and finely like shredded chicken, and sometimes you can put like mushrooms or something in there, and you form them into these little balls, typically
like pierogies.
I don't know what that is. But typically, the way you form them is with two spoons, two like soup spoons.
Yeah.
And then you bread them and fry them. And so
they've got a luscious inside.
It's sort of a creamy inside, yeah.
Well, pierogi is a Polish dish that is a piece of dough, stuff put inside, sauerkraut, cheese, pork, whatever, then a top put on it, pinched. Around the outside to make what looks like almost the top part of fake dentures.
Right.
Right? that shape like that, and they're fried, buttered and fried with onions and mushrooms. You would love
them. Yes, it sounds.
It's dough though. It's not deep fried. It's pan fried.
Right. Yeah.
What you're talking about is deep fried.
Well, yeah. I mean, we do it in a frying pan, but with lots of oil. Yeah.
Well, then that's not deep fried.
Yeah. True.
But yeah, that's pan fried, but heavily.
Yeah.
Heavily pan.
And then we have a Basque crab salad. That sounds lovely.
Now, what kind of crab would that be? Dungeness?
Changuro is the Basque name. Let me search for Changura Spethia. I don't know the actual. Oops. I don't know the actual type of crab that it is. Typical, not fancy restaurants, it's like fake crab meat.
Can't stand. If they don't spell it with a K, then you can get your money back.
They don't spell what with a K?
Crab. If they serve fake crab, which is pollock or cod, if they serve fake crab and they spell it with a C, and it's fake crab, you get your money back.
Ah, okay.
That's a scam.
Well, yeah, but like, sometimes I like make it at home, and it's a lot easier to buy some fake crab, and it's not horrible. I don't know. And then there's a turbot in Navarra white asparagus. Okay, that's fine. Rota Bayo.
What's turbot?
It's a kind of fish.
Oh, turbot. That's right.
A European flatfish. And
this isn't a starter. This is
one of the two or three entrees. One of the two main courses, yeah. And then...
Now, did they get both? You would think.
Yeah. In a wedding scenario in Spain, you would get both.
Entree one, entree two.
Typically the fish before the meat. But in some restaurants, you have to pick which one you want. So
one or the other.
So I don't know. And then
And what about dessert?
The dessert is what they call mil hojas de crema y nata. Mil hojas is a puff pastry cake. It literally means a thousand sheets. So, like, a bunch of sheets of pastry. And it's got full of custard and cream.
Mmm.
And then chuck.
And what on top of that? What do you put on top of that?
Simply nothing. Maybe some
cinnamon.
Sometimes there's like a little bit of frosting or something on top, but it's good enough as it is. And it's fun to peel off the layers and eat them individually.
And what kind of wine are they serving?
The wine is a Basque white wine called Chacoli, which.
But they don't have a red. To go with the stew?
He will also serve red win. Jesus. This journalist. They will have red win.
It spelled wine, W-I-N? Yes. What the hell? Is this guy like on the fly?
And it doesn't specify exactly what kind of red wine. But
maybe it's fucking AI.
Yeah, maybe. That's interesting. I will put that in the show notes. That is super, super Spanish. Like...
Well, I'm glad he's doing it. You know, when Bubba won, he did a typical kind of Southern meal. And you remember Fuzzy Zoller, who made the racist joke when Tiger won his first tournament,
that.
And said we'll look forward to him serving fried chicken and watermelon at the dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Well, so Tiger's 48. He said in a report that his ankle didn't hurt anymore, that he no longer has any bones grinding against other bones. And he said that if he plays once a month on the tournament with a week to get ready and a couple of weeks to recover, that he thinks he's coming back. And the world of golf is better for it. That is for sure.
Nice.
I'm looking forward to, you know, when he won the last one, which was when, 4 years ago, he was on the par three in front of the creek, and as the other golfers were hitting into the creek, you realize that they were giving Tiger the win. If he won, this would be why, the beginning of why. And of course, when it was his shot, he knew enough to go just a little long,
right,
and landed halfway between the hole and the back of the green.
Yep.
And from that point forward, it was like one guy after another. There were three guys that were in contention, as I recall. I've seen the replays of it all. It's fascinating. And they fucked up. He was the last man standing. Now, a guy his age, blah, 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 so-called his age, right. You know.
Wisdom.
Well, what a skill level.
Yep. So, while we're at the sports desk, tell me about March Madness.
Oh, so interesting. Very, very, very interesting. So, Michigan State played...
UNC.
UNC. Oh. And very, very, much better team, UNC. Played the best 12 minutes of their season, beating them in the first 12 minutes. Then played 12 minutes without scoring a basket. Then... shot shitty in the second half as well. Lost. They're out. My interest level waned. Then Kansas, who I'll follow because my brother's from Kansas. Penn State, not in it. Oh, God, it's too bad that I don't care about. And then I realized that North Carolina State.
Alma mater, baby.
Who
Wolfpack.
From the last time they were in the Final Four was the Cardiac Pack. Wolfpack,
yep.
Where they won literally every NCAA game at the buzzer.
Wow.
Every single one, including the final. That's the last time they were there. It was 1983.
Jimmy Valvano, right?
Jimmy Valvano, who famously ran around the court with a chicken with his head cut off, not knowing where to go, who to hug. He had no plan. He just ran around crazy.
Yep.
Heartwarming story. And of course, he died from cancer, and they show this clip every year at the fundraiser. He's raised millions and millions for cancer research. But here they are back again, and I thought, I'm going to watch that game. And they're playing number 4 Duke,
yep.
Who I'd like to see
in
beat
the triangle.
Anytime they
yep.
play. I just soon see him beat. And what a storyline. And there's a dude who plays for NC State, blue-collar dude, great big guy, man, 6'8", heavy,
yeah.
Heavy, not a basketball player type. No matter what he did, falling down, getting bumped, on the run, he made a basket. 2 points, 2 points. And this guy is like the guy who's funny, big. Everybody loves
just
him.
Lovable,
he's doing
right.
funny stuff during the game. They fucking end up beating them, and then they start to lose. They're down by 9. They're down by 10. They come back, and they win it.
Yeah.
Duke is out. NC State goes to the Final Four. Who do they play? The story goes on. Big Ten. Season winner, Purdue, with a 7-foot-something dude, the best guy, best player in the sport. I think he came up number one. His name is Edie. And they lost in the Big Ten Conference, tournament, I should say, to Illinois, which means they can be beat by a decent team. Mm-hmm. And so NC State, better to play them than the other big number one, which is UConn, which, dig this, has won every one of their NCAA games to date, the 64, the 32, the 16, the 8. Now they're in the Final Four every game they've won by at least 10 points.
Damn.
And UConn is playing somebody, Gonzaga maybe?
Whoever the fourth one is, yeah.
Could be. Thank God for NC State. They're not playing UConn. They're playing Purdue. And so we'll see what happens. So now again, I'm interested again.
Nice.
And if you watched any, you could get about a 15-minute version of the game online and see the main stuff. You know,
I'll have to see if I can find
you
that.
You would enjoy it. You would enjoy that. As an alma mater, I had forgotten that you were a grad there, but I was there in '83. You're there in the triangle,
yep.
And you kind of have, if you move there, you kind of have to pick who's your team.
Right.
I picked NC State because they were constantly the underdog. And unlike Dean Smith, you know, anybody in the South who's got two last names, I'm not going to, you know, like, oh, yeah, that guy's probably like me. Or Mike Krzyzewski, who... good dude, but it was Duke.
Right.
Arrogant fucking Duke.
Yep.
And so I picked NC State, and I picked him. It was there long enough that I was there for that run. Were you in school then? No.
In 80?
Yeah, it was way before.
That was way before my time. I was in elementary school.
But you know the story. You know the.
Yeah, yeah. I've
seen
that.
You know the myth. You were in elementary
school. I've seen that clip, and it's part of the lore at NC State. I used to go to a bar called Jimmy V's.
Oh, yeah.
And
Raleigh, I liked Raleigh. It didn't have... Chapel Hill was just way too much Tar Heels. That's all it was. Where you would go to Durham, and Durham was so much more than Duke.
Right.
You know, Durham was a real hip community then and still is and had a lot to offer. And Raleigh had its spots. I certainly found them and frequented them. But the Triangle, there's a lot to do. Triangle, a lot to do.
Yeah, it's all reasonably close enough to...
Well, it used to be. It's not so close anymore.
What do you mean?
Because of the traffic.
Yeah.
And congestion.
Sure.
It's more of a pain in the ass probably than it ever was.
Cool. Thanks for the update. That's more or less what I understood.
Sports news?
Yep.
It's the end of the sports desk. That sounds nothing like what it should.
I have cheese news.
Ah.
From the cheese desk. This weekend remember I told you there's this place up in the mountains here where this husband and wife make cheese, and she is from Hickory originally. They hosted an event with there was like sort of like a barbecue, and the local beer that they don't make it, but they're like partners with this people that make a beer. They make their own kombucha, which is an interesting substance.
Yeah. I'm not a fan.
My wife and son and I drove up there. It's way so many curves to get up to this, just the middle of nowhere. And I think, why would anyone choose to? I mean, it's beautiful, but boy, I would never choose to live that remote. Yeah, so there were some cheese starters, and then just sort of nice conversation with a bunch of other random people that know them through various channels. And at the end, they did a little workshop where they sort of tried to teach us how to make butter. where they had already done most of the work, but they had whatever, I don't even know the exactly what it was, but we had to
the churn.
So there were some people that had like some milk stuff that they were like shaking, or there was one thing that had a little thing to turn. It wasn't like an up and down churn. But my group was assigned to take this already buttery like substance and with our hands in a bowl of cold water just sort of massage it so that some part of it left out to clean it. So like the water ended up all milky, and then we had to change the water, and it had to be cold water because otherwise it would sort of start to melt. And another group went outside into the mountain and found some like herbs just in the forest somewhere and brought it back and chopped it up, and then we rolled our little butter thing in the herbs. And so I,
when you ate your butter, what did you put it on?
We just made it and brought it home, and the next day I spread it on some toast.
Toast.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of crackers and butter.
Yeah, that could be a thing.
So, you know, when you're making cheese, I don't know if you know, this is an old story, I guess, but that there's the churn, undoubtedly some of the cheese kind of catches on the top of it, where there isn't a lot of action. It dries there, and it's called a crust.
Okay.
And it's frustrating when you go to clean it, and that's where the saying came from, because housewives would go to clean the churn, and they'd say, "Cheese us crust."
That makes a lot of sense.
I gotta clean this. That's how the Messiah was named.
It reminds me a lot of the booger art.
Well, we managed to get past that. That was grotesque.
And the reason that I went with my wife and son and not my daughter is because she is currently on a school trip to the south of England.
Ooh.
Which is pretty crazy to go, you know, with a bunch of other teenagers to another country. And she's staying with a friend at some family's house. And then their landlady like takes them into school. They're there for a whole week, and they go to this school that's really more like a language school. Where they're, I guess, learning English, but like she doesn't need to learn English, so I don't know. But she said her English teacher, who's British, said she's been taking kids there for 20 years, and most years there's some kid that really misbehaves. Like one time, for example, like some kid was caught shoplifting, when that happens, they ship them home at the parents' expense, and if there's no flight to the local airport, they'll ship them to a faraway airport and just say, "Parents, go get your kid, because we're kicking him out." But apparently, her teacher said, every year there's some kid that like that, but this year like they're all misbehaving, like they're just so, and so she can't punish anyone because, to be fair, that she'd have to send almost all of them home because they're just such shitheads.
I thought the story was going in the opposite direction.
No.
That this is the first year that it's just been so pleasant, or somehow in your daughter is the cream of the crop, but no. She didn't get any trouble.
No, of course. But I swear her peers at every stage of the schooling process the teachers have said, wow, this is the worst class that we've seen. So I don't know what was in the water when she was born, but her peers are just naughty lads.
Naughty lads and lasses.
Indeed.
So with her gone, that and so your childcare load is easier, just one, or is he on vacation too?
No, he's going to school. And she's at this point, she's very minimal childcare load.
She goes to
school and all her stuff, and
there's lunches and
yeah,
some transportation, whatnot.
Yeah, there's no transportation.
Well, so what was this is our closing note? Tell me about the Spanish Easter celebration and the food.
Okay, so my wife did make some of the traditional stuff that her family makes. And that included a white bean and spinach soup that often also includes cilantro and some other spices.
No meat?
No meat. Romero. And some other spice that I can't remember the English name for. And that is always, every single year we have that, and every single year I say, damn, this is really good. We should have this more often. Like, why do we only have it for Easter?
Yeah.
And the other thing that is typical is just fried cod.
Breaded
and fried in a pan.
Thick steaks.
Fillets. Thick steaks. And that's typically what we'll do is we'll get salted cod. Like, that's a common thing in the Basque country. That's how the Basques were able to travel so far.
Yeah.
But for that, you have to, like, leave it in water for a day and then change the water and, like, do that, like, for 4 days in a row to get all the damn salt out. This year we just bought not salted cod and it was fine.
What's coming up here? I got 30 degree weather, even though I'll send you a picture of this if I remember that. The trees next door to me, which I'm sure we figured out what they were long ago, have bloomed in spite of snowfall, in spite of 37 feels like 32. Today was ice cold rain. Mm. You know, I'm doing outdoor work and caulk won't work, putty won't work, liquid nails won't work, all the stuff I need for this outdoor improvement on this guy's house I can't use because it's too cold. Huh. So delay in that, but I'll send you but it's going to warm up and I think this is the turn. This is the spring has sprung kind of thing, so I'm really looking forward to that.
I think it was 72 degrees here today.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. Sweet. Well, I'm out of here, my man. I got shit to do.
I like how you have a microphone on your shirt, so it looks like you're talking into a microphone like a real podcaster.
Like real. Unlike this one.
Yes.
Can you see it?
Yes.
There it is. That's a pretty good mic.
Yeah. Looks good.
All right. Go on.
Later.
Next week I have a song for you.
Excellent. Go. Okay, that's it for episode number 213. You can find the show notes at happyhour.fm/213, where you can find links to the article about the poop knives and the master's menu and some NC State sports highlights and all sorts of good stuff. And you can support the show at patreon.com/happyhour. See you next week.